The Play Action Podcast is fueled by Picasso's Pizza, where every night is pizza night.
Hello and welcome to the Play Action Podcast, and happy holidays from both of us. We're in some festive gear today as we get ready to talk about the Bills and the Jets, this week 17 matchup in Orchard Park. Mark, as we usually do, let's start with the Bills offense and the opponent's defense. What stands out to you about the New York Jets, who have been, you know, quite a sight to see this year?
Yeah, they're, they're a colossal disappointment, probably the biggest disappointment in the NFL at 4-11. It's just some amazing, abysmal stats and defeat. Highlighted by last Sunday's loss to the Rams, and you know, where they managed just 9 points with no punts. The first team in, you know, decades, no punts, and still only get 9 points.
Incredible.
Their defense has been a colossal disappointment. The overall numbers aren't terrible, but the advanced analytics are bad. They're all banged up. They're without their starting linebacker, their star linebacker, C.J. Mosley. So it's been a big disappointment. I think the Bills, this is a chance for the Bills. I think the weather should be will be warmer anyway. Better for receivers. I know there is some gnashing of teeth over the fact the Bills didn't roll the Patriots, and certainly there were some areas of concern in the Patriots game, and we can talk about those. But, I think the Bills had scored 30 points, 8 straight games, and their offense hit a few speed bumps against New England. Nothing to get too concerned about, if you ask me. What do you want? 30 straight points, 17 games in a row? It's just not going to happen. Okay. Give New England's secondary played really well. Give them some credit. The Bills, had a few, just a few penalties that derailed them. Some first down passing, really first down passing was the thing that didn't go very well for the Bills. They had a slow start. The defense was a bigger problem, but I think, we're not going to start complaining about an offense that has only scored 30 points in 8 of its last 9 games.
Right. And I think also, you'd rather have a bit of a blunder of a game in week 16 where you still win than a few weeks later in January. You mentioned the Jets injuries. There's a bunch on defense. Let's go through some of them. They've been banged up all year. Which injury do you think is the most impactful?
Well, I think that they have been banged up all year. I don't give them a pass on that. It's still been a big disappointment given how dominant their defense had been. I think it's partly a sign of their dysfunction. They fired, their head coach and have gotten worse on defense. I think it's a statement of their whole dysfunction. Now, one thing they have that has hurt them is their pass rush. They let go a couple of key pieces last year in the offseason, John Franklin Myers and Bryce Huff, and their pass rush just hasn't been as dominant as it has been in previous years, and their run defense hasn't been as dominant. Quinnen Williams missed Sunday's game against the Rams with a hamstring injury. Another, big run stepper, Lecky Foto, is out on IR. The Jets, you can run on them. The problem, they've been such a tough matchup for the Josh Allen Bills, and the big reason is the Bills could never run on them. But in past years, but that's not the case. The Bills did run on them in the first meeting. The Bills won 23-20, tough game, But the Bills ran on them. The Rams ran on them very well. Kyren Williams had 123 yards rushing. So December game in Buffalo, I think the forecast is high 40s with maybe some rain, but not a torrential downpour. So that's good compared to last Sunday when it was 14, going down to like 9. When I left the stadium, it was 8. I think the Bills should be able to run the ball. I think the passing game could get going. The Bills have a chance to, and they have a few other injuries. Sauce Gardner probably will be questionable. He left the game with a hamstring. That's a big deal. The Jets starting slot corner, Michael Carter, is out with a back injury, very likely out. They got a safety who's hurt, Tony Adams. So issues. Okay, the Buffalo Bills defense coming off an underwhelming win against New England, in which they only gave up 21 points, made some huge turnovers, which very good, but allowed the Patriots to hold the ball, to score their first two possessions and hold the ball for 20 minutes in the first half, which is not good. Now they face a Jets offense that is dysfunctional with a capital D.
I'm fascinated by this Jets offense and what it's able to do, but also not able to do. Mark, you pointed out in our notes how the Jets have lost 6 straight games in which they've outgained their opponent. And that's the longest since the 2020-2021 Jaguars, who went for 9 straight, even more impressive. But to be outgaining your opponent that consistently and still losing, you already mentioned last week where they put up 9. It's just impressive in all the wrong ways, I would say.
Yeah, and they're 23rd in total yards. It's just been terrible. And all of the fears that everyone had about the Jets offense, there was certainly, if everything goes right, they could be a juggernaut. But there are some major worries. Age of the quarterback, weakness and age on the offensive line, injury history on key offensive players, and all of them have come to the fore. Aaron Rodgers, you would think Aaron Rodgers, Garrett Wilson, Davante Adams, how are they not better? But they're really been kind of a dink and dunk offense. And part of it is their offensive line is not good. And now they've lost another left tackle, Olufoshanu, their first round draft pick, who was plan B at left tackle. He's out now with a foot injury. So they'll be on to plan C at left tackle. I think it'll be interesting to watch. You know, they still have Breece Hall, who is also having a disappointing season. It'll be interesting to see the Bills' run defense here. You know, all the numbers say the Bills' run defense is not that bad. The advanced numbers say the Bills' run defense is better than most fans think. The run defense is not passing my eyeball test. Right. Even the Patriots, it got better the second half, but it's a worry. I still count it as a worry. And this is a chance to, let's see how they do against Breece Hall, who is explosive and who has exploded for big runs on the Bills in the past.
I think also just a reflection of how dysfunctional this team is Aaron Rodgers is already talking about maybe getting released at the end of the season. He's bringing it up kind of without prompting. I think we're going to have a whole another off season of his shenanigans, we'll call them, of just, yeah. What's going to happen? What's he going to do? And I think that stems from this offense hasn't been able to figure it out or put things together. And now you've got your quarterback talking about whether or not he's moving on in, week 17. I believe he started it earlier as well.
Yeah, I mean they've basically sold their soul, and doubled and tripled down on the Aaron Rodgers experience, and it's blown up in their faces. And now, you know, they're going to have a new coach and a new GM, and they have a big decision to make. You know, it seems like the thing to do is cut the cord. It's going to cost them $49 million in cap space next year, with no obvious answer for a solution on a replacement. But, you know, I think for them, that's the thing to do. Just take your medicine. And if that means 2025 is a 4-13 season, so be it. You know, the other option is to lessen the pain because you've got these young stars and push money into the future. And maybe get them to take some sort of a pay cut, but basically it gets complicated. But you know that if they try to push it, run it back a year, it's going to wind up costing them in the over $80 million in cap space spread out over 2026-27. It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. So you know, the Bills, meanwhile, this is not, you know, let's not you know, we can talk on and on about the Jets' problems, and they are massive, and the future looks bleak. But let's not forget, the Bills beat the Jets 23-20. Garrett Wilson is an absolute stud. Garrett Wilson and Devontae Adams is still outstanding. So, you know, it's not like the Bills blew this dysfunctional team out. Back in mid-October. And the Bills have injuries on defense. What is the state of the Bills' defense? Is Rasul Douglas coming back? You know, so that's a concern. Kyrie Elam stepped in, had played, you know, well, or Reese, you know, okay in the Detroit game, but you know, was called for, got beat for a touchdown pass on the opening drive. A great throw by Drake May. His coverage was okay. I'm not going to kill him for that. You know, but then he got two defensive pass interference fouls in the end zone in the fourth quarter. You know, you'd like to see that not happen. So he may very well be Elam again. And who are the safeties going to be? So, you know, against Devontae Adams and Garrett Wilson, could be a problem.
It's the most wonderful time of the year in the sense that Pro Bowl voting has just wrapped up and we are closer to finding out who the Pro Bowlers are for this season. Mark, who's been standing out to you on the Bills for their chances of making the Pro Bowl this upcoming February?
Well, let's start with a handful. I mean, there's a handful of people, and, you know, I don't think we need to talk much about Josh Allen. He's a stone cold lock. He is the favorite at the moment for the MVP. I think as long as the Bills beat the Jets, I think he should win the MVP. You know, he's a lock for the Pro Bowl and the starter in the AFC. So let's move on to a couple other offensive players. Deion Dawkins and James Cook. Mm-hmm. Catherine, what do you think about those two?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've both had such impressive seasons. James Cook, the way he's exploded in particular, is now at 14 rushing touchdowns after having two rushing touchdowns apiece the seasons leading up to now. But I think also you just look at, you know, his 440-plus yard run touchdowns, what he's been able to do in the offense as a whole. I've really liked how he's stepped up this season, and I think it's showing.
He made the Pro Bowl last year, James Cook. His numbers were better last year because the Bills have been spreading the wealth more. Mm-hmm. So Cook is actually sixth in the AFC in rushing yards. So the three running backs make it. Derrick Henry is number one, hands down.
For sure.
So where is it from there? Indianapolis, Jonathan Taylor is second in rushing. He's got 200 more rushing yards than James Cook, basically 1130, and Cook is at 928. But Taylor has 8 TDs. Cook has 14 rushing TDs. Cook also has like more than 50, 55 carries more than Cook. I think Cook's explosiveness, I would still give the vote to Cook. The others who are ahead of Cook are Tony Pollard, Joe Mixon of Houston, who has had a good year, Najee Harris of Pittsburgh, who is not nearly as explosive as Cook. So it could be a little close there. I would say Cook is not a lock, but I would give the nod to Cook for his touchdowns and his yards per carry. He would be number two. Three make it. I think you could go Derrick Henry, Taylor, and Cook. Deion, meanwhile, has made the Pro Bowl three straight years. And in my eyes, he has had another outstanding season. I think he should be in the Pro Bowl.
I think so, too. I think just you look at his caliber of play, obviously what the group is doing as a whole, so much of that starts with him. And I think just kind of he's impressed there again. So I would not be surprised if he made it for a fourth straight year.
Three offensive tackles make it. I would say the Chargers, Rashawn Slater, you know, from what I've seen, I might be number one, honestly. But I think Deion is the number two starter at offensive tackle. Others, Laremy Tunsil of Houston has had an outstanding season. That might be your top three. Some Miami voters might want Terron Armstead. You know, the thing with him is his job is so much easier than
he is good.
I'm not knocking, but his job is so much easier because Tua gets the ball off so fast. And then Denver's Garrett Bowles, a shout out to him. The Bills could see him in the playoffs. He's had a really good season. But I think somehow, some way, it would be an injustice if Deion isn't in the top three there. I think Connor McGovern is an unheralded. I don't think he's going to make it. Only two centers make it. And Creed Humphrey is a lock of Kansas City as number one. Tyler Linderbaum of Baltimore probably deserves it as number two. So Connor McGovern, I don't think is going to make it. But he's had a really underrated good season. Let's go to the cornerback position.
Yeah, I think that's always an interesting one when you just look at how they assess guys. Because there's no separate slot corner, correct?
That's the problem, yeah. Right. And there, I really feel that four cornerbacks make it, but slot corners almost never make it.
Right.
It goes to the outside corners. So, you know, in my eyes, Christian Benford has had an outstanding season. In my eyes, Terron is hands down the number one most valuable corner, and Terron would deserve it over Christian Benford. If you look at, you know, some like, and again, Pro Football Focus is good for like data of how many times they line up places, their position ratings. I'm not keen on, PFF has Christian Benford as the fourth highest graded corner in the league. But that's their grades. That doesn't factor into, does he travel and cover the, man up on an island against the number one receiver? No, those grades don't factor that in.
Right. So I think it's a harder shot for Terron Johnson to make it, even though I agree. I think he's very deserving of, that honor just based off his caliber of play. You saw it on display again this weekend against the Patriots, but it's just, you know, the actual logistics of how to make it are so much trickier.
Yeah, pound for pound, Terron Johnson, toughest cornerback in the NFL. I'll die on that hill. But the competition, let's say also, while they're great, there's great corners in the AFC. So, legitimately, it's no shame not to make the Pro Bowl. And, Trent McDuffie of Kansas City, I'll take him over any of the Bills cornerbacks. He's, nothing against the Bills cornerbacks. Patrick Surtain of Denver has had a great year. Marlon Humphrey of Baltimore leads the AFC with six interceptions. I mean, he's making it. That's three who are locks. Derek Stingley Jr. of Houston is great. He's a top 10 overall pick. I mean, that's four right there. So I don't really think Benford and Taron have a chance to make it. The other thing is, I think Bills fans, if I'm Brandon Bean, I don't want him to make it. because, you know, that ups his the price of his re-signing. Let McDuffie, Sertan, Humphrey, and Stingley go to the Pro Bowl, and then see if you can re-sign Christian Benford before next September 5th.
Right. So more to think about than just the honors itself, as far as, like you said, the long-term implications. We'll be covering all of that, the Bills against the Jets this weekend. So make sure you're checking out BuffaloNews.com for all of our coverage and for our podcast there.
Treat your team to the most flavorful pizza on game day at Picasso's Pizza. Four great Western New York locations: Williamsville, West Seneca, Lancaster, and Blaisdell. Picasso's. We are Buffalo's Pizza since 1980. Order online today at picassospizza.net.